I'm going to be continuing the message from last week, and it was about the power of the Lord's name, that there's power in agreement, there's power in numbers. I think that we really understand that. I was trying to come up with another illustration. I thought of when a running back gets handed the ball from the quarterback, and he starts running into the line and hopefully a space will open up and he can get a lot of yardage. But lots of times he's met by one or more of the defensive linemen that stop him right up. Right? He kaboom! He hits right into a wall, basically. Right? And when those kinds of things happen, there are times where the offensive line gets in back of the running back, and all of their weight and their effort is pushing him forward and almost overruns the defensive line sometimes. And so where one can't push through, a group can push through. And that was one of the things that I was talking about last week was, one has trouble, two can defend themselves, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so this whole thing where when we're in agreement on things, when we come together in things, when we're interceding together, there's more spiritual power than there is when you're by yourself. Now, just think about it, that the scripture tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Isn't that one of the scriptures?
Yeah.
One person can be very effective. Doesn't that say that?
Yes.
Well, what about when there's agreement? Instead of one person trying to push through, now there's all kinds of people pushing through that defensive line, that thing to stop us from getting to our goal, right? And so there's this power in agreement, and that's one of what I was talking about last week. I talked about how the enemy tries to divide us, and we have to be careful about division, because then we're not together when we're divided, right? And the intensity of our prayer is also important. And I thought that was fantastic what Reggie brought up there, because it's very important that there is spiritual energy that's involved in our prayers. If we're already feeling defeated, there's not a lot of spiritual energy to push against what the enemy is trying to do. And all of us fall there, don't we? We all, you don't have that energy. And that's when, and I think every one of you have experienced this, when we're not looking at the circumstance, and we're looking at the God who is greater than anything, which we sang about here. Isn't that right? Then we go, oh yeah, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Right? We know, and when we connect with that spiritual energy, we have now the energy to push against what the enemy's trying to do. Whether it's discouragement or it doesn't matter. Whatever it happens to be, we can find that power to push against the enemy. Isn't that right? And how much better is it when we're together or we're talking to somebody on the phone and we say, could you pray about, and then there's this agreement that happens. It does something in the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
It really does. Now, I came across a scripture And I thought, wow, this is a fantastic scripture to illustrate what I'm about to say. I mentioned last week, there's a thing that happens when people come together and we're agreed about things. It's called synergy. I used the word synergy last week. Does everybody know what that word means?
Togetherness and multiplier effect.
It's a multiplier effect. You know, when you think, okay, here's one person praying, and then somebody else comes along. Okay, well, it's not that we're adding one, we're multiplying. And when there's three, there's even a greater effect. It's exponential, it's not additive. This is what God does in our prayer life. This is what's so great about praying in pairs, getting sent out by twos, by praying in pairs or groups. There's something more. It's multiplicative. Is that the right word? Multiplicative. It sounds good though, doesn't it? No. It's a new word. I just coined a word. So this synergy that happens when we're together in purpose, where we believe, we have faith, we're hearing from God, and we're to pray about certain things, and when we say, yeah, I want that too, right? So be it means I want that too, right? That's what amen is. Amen means so be it. That means I'm agreeing with this. And when we give our amen to something, we're saying, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. I'm standing with you here, right? And that produces a spiritual force, a power, because this is what's the things that are happening in the world are because of what's happening in the realm of the spirit, right? I think I mentioned last week the Daniel 10 scripture. It took two angels to get rid of one angel. And one of the angels was a good one, right? And one was a bad. And then the good couldn't push the other. The bad one out of the way, right? He had to wait for Michael, the archangel, to come along. And then he prevailed over him. Even in the realm of the spirit, God sent an angel to do something, and a dark angel stopped him. Oh, wait a minute. God's more powerful. Why didn't it? Because there are things that we don't understand about the realm of the spirit yet. Right? And so, but this is the reality of it. And if it's happening with angels, we have to realize that there are situations where we, as a single person, can effectively produce something through our prayer. But there's a lot of other things where we need somebody standing beside us, don't we?
Yes.
And the more that there is, the greater spiritual opportunity there's going to be for the things that so easily beset us, and those powerful beings that are keeping good from happening over decades, centuries, can finally be broken. I love that song. I just love that song. You know, the things that we think are impossible for ourselves, for the country. No, you know what? God is greater than all of that. And I loved that Jolinda said, there is a revival coming. Because you know what that tells me? There's more Christians that are going to be around praying and seeing things broken down that haven't been able to be penetrated up to this point.
Right.
I want to talk today about our heritage. So it's a little bit of a history lesson. It won't be that long, for those of you who don't like history. But I know a lot of people don't like history. All right, well, let me get to this scripture that illustrates this whole concept of synergy. Okay, all right, it's Leviticus chapter 26, and it's verses 7 and 8. Leviticus 26, 7 to 8. This is what it says. Now you think of this in terms of spiritual fight. Okay. You praying for things to happen. You praying for the enemy to get out of your life. This is what it says. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Word of God, right? Five of you will chase 100. Five of you will chase 100. Now, so how many is that per person?
20.
20? Oh, okay. Wow. We can push 20? 20? Yeah? And then it says, and 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Now, did you notice that when there's more people, it doesn't just increase by 20, because 100 times 20 would be 2,000. But this says 10,000. You know, there's a multiplying effect that happens, right? That's one for every 100, not one for 20.
Yeah.
There's a multiplying effect in the realm of spiritual warfare that God has provided. He did this. This is how he made it to work. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So when you think about this, if you think, well, I don't want to bother somebody to pray, you know, they're busy, I don't want to call them up. No, you know what? We're multiplying a victory by taking hold of somebody else and saying, could you pray with me about this?
Yes.
What would that do?
Yes.
Just one person reaching out to one other person. What would it be like if we all are, I know we know this, but we have to be reminded about this, don't we? How much power we have. And I'm going to bring this to a different level here in just a moment. Okay? All right.
Malcolm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 9.
I need a mic, Malcolm.
Oh. Verse 9. Yeah. Did I miss
something? Verse 9. This is the New King James.
Yeah.
For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you.
Yeah.
And confirm my covenant with you.
Hallelujah. There's a multiplying effect. It's not an additive effect. You know, we're not just adding one person on when you're praying. We're multiplying by some digit that God has, that he has determined.
10 times 10,000.
You know?
Yeah.
Amen.
So that's pretty darn good, isn't it? That this can happen for us. So when we're running into roadblocks in our life, we really do need to get the body behind the prayer, the praying part of that. Isn't that right? And we're doing this. This is things that we're already doing. But I know that the Lord wants us to be encouraged to continue to be there for one another. You know? And to really be praying and taking the prayer list and be praying over these people when we're alone. I just think this is going to be such a big thing for us. Okay, so I'm going to talk about here. How many of you know that we were founded as a Christian nation. Does everybody know that?
Yes.
Now, there's people that want to dispute that, but there's you really can't get away from it. I want to read to you some quotations from some of our founding fathers, and then I want to talk a little bit about a very, very short history of something. So, John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory, not something that was good about the American Revolution, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." Mm. Our nation was founded that way. Josiah Bartlett, okay? He was governor of New Hampshire years ago. You know, Bartlett, New Hampshire was named after him. In an official proclamation, he said that he urged the people of New Hampshire to confess before our God our aggravated transgressions and to implore his pardon and forgiveness through the merits of Jesus Christ, that the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ may be made known to all nations. Pure and undefiled religion will universally prevail, and the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Amen. Wow.
Now, this is a governor in an official capacity saying that, right? John Jay, this is my last example. John Jay, first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. "Providence has given to our people," now when he says providence, he's talking about God.
Yeah.
All right. "Providence has given to our people the choice of their ruler. And it is the duty, as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation, to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." You couldn't get away with saying that today. You know what the motto of Harvard College was? "For Christ and the Church." That was the motto of Harvard University. "For Christ and the Church." So you kind of go, what the heck happened? Because boy, you talk about the multiplying factor of the Christian influence, Christian believers in the fabric of the life of America, produced that kind of thing. You know, another thing that came out of Harvard at the time, "We exist for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith." And yet with Christianity as the basis, there was religious freedom for Jews, Mohammedans, it didn't matter. You still had your freedom. It's amazing, isn't it? That you know, that's our heritage. I just read some of this and I go, oh my gosh. Back in the 70s, I think it was in the 70s, two different movements in church circles. One was called Crusade for Christ. I think it got started back then. Was that Bill Bright? Bill Bright, right? Bill Bright was the head of getting that movement going. And then there was YWAM, Youth for a Mission. And both of those organizations, right around the same time, mentioned that there are seven pillars of society. And whoever controls those pillars controls the direction of the society that they're a part of. So let me read you what those are. Religion, family, arts and entertainment, government, business, all whatever, you know, industry and any kind of business, media and education. There's seven influencers, seven pillars of a society that were recognized and espoused by those two particular Christian groups. And then things came along that really pushed against that Christian influence, because up until probably the 1960s, some of you are old enough, some of you are not, but in the 60s, there was some big social changes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Most of us know this. Big, big social changes. And the church, though pushing against some of the change, didn't push hard enough. And things began happening in our country where, the respect for authority, the family structure, divorces started really flying off, off the charts. All kinds of things where the Christian influence kept things at bay were now just kind of going out the window. And once the church kind of stepped back from that, the enemy started taking more pieces of ground. We look back, and this is what's been happening for 60 years or so, right? From the 60s till today, about 60-some years. And this is what's been happening step by step, little by little. The enemy has taken over these different areas of influence that really influence the way a society is going to go. And we look back and we go, what the heck happened? Well, the Christian influence in the major areas of societal life have taken a back seat. You hear this? Some of it was because of some of the preaching, some of the laws that were made, and the church stepped back. Separation of church and state, and people accepted certain things instead of pushing against certain things, right? Yeah. There's a separation. The government can't say what religion you have to be, but that was how it always was, right? And then it was changed into there can't be any kind of expression in the public square. That's what it evolved to. Isn't that what's happening? Yes. So this brings me to Matthew 28. So if you go to Matthew 28, it's verses 19 and 20. This is what the scripture says. I'm sure you know this without even having to go to it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the
nations,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Discipling the nations. Now, I think all of us think, well, that's done one at a time, and there's a very good truth for that. You're with me so far, because I'm going to take you someplace here that maybe you haven't thought about that much. Okay, so we do it by sharing the gospel and just living a good Christian life and being a good example, and people see that and talk and people come to a relationship with Christ Himself. And this is what I'm and all of us, I think, are hoping for this great revival, that there be a revival that happens in our country. You know, our country isn't going to come out of the filth and the corruption that we're in without a revival. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by worldly standards, by us saying no bullying in schools. That isn't going to happen that way. I was a teacher. They did all this big push decades and decades ago about, you know, no bullying. More bullying happened. It's crazy because God was left out of the picture. Parents were left out of the picture. Yeah? Because we were going to do it in our own goodness. You know, out of our way of thinking about what would be the right thing to do. And it's always the wrong thing. Without the benefit of the Lord guiding us along, right?
Now, so, yeah. I just say, like, when you were talking about the nations, it kind of makes me think, like, when Babylon happened and stuff, like, God dispersed, separated,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right? And then when Christ came back, it kind of, like, was a uniting type thing. It brought the nations together, right?
That's it.
And now we're kind of, it feels like we're being dispersed again.
Yeah.
Only to be united at the end when he returns.
Right.
You know, that's how, you know, like, it seems like a cycle that way.
Yeah. And all of the things that are happening right now are dividing our country.
Yes.
I mentioned this last week, you know, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, black and white. I mentioned this last week. The enemy is always looking to divide us. Because in numbers we have power. You understand that, right? You understand that. So let's see. Psalm 33, verse 12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." You mean it isn't just, God doesn't just look at individuals, he looks at nations?
Yes.
And there's an overall blessing if there's if we're really truly a Christian nation and we're living and speaking in the name of Jesus, that God blesses that nation?
Yes.
Yeah? That's what happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's not only blessed are the individuals whose God is the Lord. It's blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And when there's that remnant of people that want to serve God with a whole heart, and they're in a nation, God is going to bless that nation. For the sake of those people. Yeah?
Yes.
I don't know where God draws the lines on some of this. But I'll tell you what. We're going in the wrong direction right now.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
If there isn't a repentance from the immoral, corrupt, disgusting things that are happening in this world, and most of us don't even realize all of the, I want to say a bad word here, all of the junk that's going on in this world that we should know about and should be praying about and should be interceding for the protection of those little kids and for other things that are happening. We should be outraged. I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes.
We should be outraged that this is even happening.
Yes.
Matthew 6, verse 10. says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants the nations to be blessed. He wants his kingdom to be on this earth. It's finally going to happen at some point when Jesus comes back. But we're in this interim kingdom situation right now, because the kingdom of God has already come. Yeah? Come on, you're following me here. The kingdom has come in the aspect that the kingdom is within you. And that we serve a king right now. We serve Jesus right now. And when he says hop, we hop. When he says go, we go. When he says stop doing that, we stop doing whatever it is. So hopefully, right? But this is, see, we can experience that kingdom age before the kingdom age comes. But it's going to come, as it says, in power. Oh, I wonder how that happens. Well, it's when Jesus comes back, right? We understand that. But there's more to it that can happen on this side of Jesus' coming. And that's what the rest of this message is going to be about. So, yeah, who said that? Yeah. How's that go, Bob? Say it nice and loud.
The righteous take it by force.
The righteous take it by force. And that word force means power. Oh, I wonder if that power has to do with our agreement about things. It's not pulling out the weapons, you know. Pow, 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 pow. How many people have seen my cousin Benny? When he comes out of the cabin in the woods, because he hears the sound, it just goes out, and he's just pop, 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 pow, and he's just shooting out into the woods. Misses the owl that's making all the noise, but oh, cracks me.
I digress.
So, discipling of individuals, and this is what's going on. We're starting this. I hope that there's an energy and a belief and a faith for, hey, good things are happening. God's getting us ready for something that's out here, out over there, you know, and it's going to happen, right? This revival's going to happen. These things are going to happen, and God's preparing people for these very things. And so so here we are, and we're being discipled as individuals so that we can disciple the nation.
Right.
You get that?
Yes.
So we can disciple the nations. Now you go, well, what are you talking about? Well, there's seven pillars of a society, right? We all, as disciples, are already connected to some are in businesses, and you know, most of us all have families. These are pillars of society, right? Some are involved in the education realm. Yeah. The arts and entertainment. Some are involved with the religious side of things, with churches, right? Some should be more in the government. But those are the pillars of society, and you know, God is preparing disciples not to just be disciples in a church,
right?
Not to, I'm not excluding this, please don't get me wrong here, that we're only just supposed to make more believers by spreading the gospel, but God wants us in positions in society, in the pillars of society, so that our nation can be a nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
Are you hearing that?
Yes.
So it's really important. We're not all called to go into government or all to be teachers in the education system or to be in any one of those particular things. But God's called us to something. God's getting us ready for something.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know how important it is that one of the keystone of any society is the family.
Yes.
To be there for your family. Right? To be a good example of Christ to your kids, to your brothers and sisters, to whoever, right? Mm-hmm. You don't think that's important? That's probably the most important thing. Family is important. And being able to minister to our family is very, very important. To have people in the realm of government so we don't have sleazy politicians that are only in for it for themselves, but to have a godly person. The problem is, oh, well, there's a separation of church and state. I shouldn't be wasting time with politics. No, this is one of the things that God wants to do. He wants some people, most of us are not going to be involved with that. Who wants that sloppy business? But people are called to be there, and they're Christian. And there are people that are going to be in the education system. I mean, look at the number of teachers or former teachers. And Amy's still in the school. Who else? Is there anybody else that's still in?
Heidi.
Heidi's still, yeah, she isn't here. There's numbers of people that have been in the educational. We need Christians in that realm, don't we? Because
yes.
There's a tremendous influence there. Yes.
When you're talking about separation of church and state, it's the state that's supposed to stay out of the church, not the church out of the state. So you have every right to preach on, brother.
Well, thank you. Yes, and that's very true. Very true. That was Kelly. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna go on with this. So in Ephesians 5:13-14, it says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, right before that is a very interesting little scripture, a verse of scripture too, and that's verse 11. Listen to what it says. Have nothing to do, talking to us now, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Yes.
Now, I want to say something. You know this great shaking that's going on?
Yes.
How God's going to not only shake the heavens, but also the earth, or not only the earth, but also the heaven. God is exposing things. He's exposed things to us in the church for numbers of years for us to be aware, hey, this isn't right. Right?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. I wrote this down. God is exposing and shaking the seven pillars. Right? To make us become aware of the falling away, the falling away that the church has done. Sad to say.
Individuals too.
Yeah, individuals, particular churches, with their doctrine, with the way they handle situations. They've fallen away from what the way God wants something to be. And we have to be able to recognize that so that we don't fall into that and even expose what's going on in other places. Right?
Not nice.
You know, the breakup of the family structure, the ungodliness in the arts and entertainment industries, the corruption and greed in our government and business and media, and the godless approach in a lot of ways, not in education, at least coming from like the higher realms of the education establishment. It's good that we still have local autonomy in a lot of ways, thank God for that, but it still creeps down. We have to be aware of those things, don't we? Because if we're not aware of it, we can't do anything about it. We're not praying about something that we're unaware of.
Right.
And God's shaking this all up right now so that we can see what's going on in this world and make some decisions whether we're going to keep allowing it to happen. The church is going to be the pivot of whether this nation goes in the same direction it's going right now, or if there's going to be a repentance and go in a different one.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be us.
Yes.
It's going to be us standing up. It's going to be us. What was that phrase?
Stay the course.
You know, she knows. We've been talking about this all week.
All week it's been coming up.
Stay the course. Persevere. Don't get weary. I mean, all of this was already said today. Something else, isn't it? God is speaking this, and He wants us to be stirred in our hearts and spirits. To be people that aren't going to say, well, God will just take care of it. Yeah, God's going to take care of it using us. Yeah. And if we don't have the courage, the fortitude, the understanding, God will find somebody else.
We deserve the problem.
We the church has backed off from standing in the gap in any one of these areas that make up society. Well, that's none of our business, because we're told it's not our business.
Yeah.
See, we relinquished ground, and the enemy rushed in and took and grabbed right a hold of it. That's what's going on when we're talking about spiritual warfare. That's what's going on. And we've got to take that ground back.
Yes.
And it's going to be harder now because it's been 60 years of this. Mm-hmm. But we can't do it. You know, that's why I loved about that song that Reggie had. You know, that, well, I guess it was Chuck, right? That's what I loved about that. You know, nothing's impossible for God. And guess what happens when not only groups, small little churches, but more groups around the whole country, and the whole country turns, we have a revival, we now have a whole bunch of people thinking the same way. What can we do? Huh? What can we do? What kind of power do we exert on this society that we're in? Could we change things around?
Oh, yes,
I am. How many of you think you can? We can together, can't we?
Yes.
We can together.
Yes.
Whether we do or not, that's a whole different story. That's a different question. But we can in Christ.
Yes.
We can.
Yes.
And if greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world.
Yes. Yes.
That's what's going on right now. And God is stirring us to make that kind of choice. There was one thing I got to tell you. Can you take two or three more minutes longer? I was reading one of Dutch Sheets' things. And he, it was called Appeal to Heaven. We have his book, Appeal to Heaven. I was reading it a couple of days ago. And it talked about how people's prayers that get put out there into the spirit realm. If that person over the course of years died, they prayed for something and that person dies, what happens to that prayer?
Still there.
Still there. And Doug Sheets said, you know, we can come in and agree for all of the prayers of our national ancestors who wanted us to be a godly nation and a nation of free. Can we join up with those prayers now? Yeah, because those prayers are still up there. The person who first spoke them is in the ground, but the prayer's still there. That was such a revelation to me. Such a revelation to me. And wow, we can connect with prayers that have already have been prayed and grab a hold of that and say, Amen. We're gonna be that nation. We're gonna be that nation again. Right? Wow, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that's Dutch Sheets uses the scripture in Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 40, it says that that they, apart from us, won't receive the blessing. Well, and Dutch was saying, you know, they made these prayers, but they didn't see the accomplishment of those prayers, because apart from us, who are here at the end of the age, for those things to happen, they're not going to happen unless we're praying for them too.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Hey, Malcolm.
Yes.
There's a prayer on the back of my Bible from George Washington. Every officer and man should live and act and become a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of this country.
Hallelujah. And we agree. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. To that. Amen to that. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this scripture. Yeah, the prayers come up as a memorial, as sweet incense to God, right? All right, so here's the last scripture for you today. It's Psalm 110, verse 3. It says this: Your people will be willing in the day of your power, arrayed in your holy splendor. Your young troops will come to you like the dew from the morning's womb. And that word shall be willing is the word volunteer. Your people will volunteer in the day of your power. And that day of his power is us moving in agreement together. There's power in numbers. There's power in agreement. And the day of his power will ultimately be when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there's a whole preceding part to that. And that's where the revival is going to come. That's where people are volunteering to join together in prayer and to be listening and to be involved in whatever pillar of society that God really wants us to put our hand to, so that things can, the darkness can be broken, at least in those areas, for that amount of time. Amen. So, amen. So Lord, we pray that we are people that would volunteer, will volunteer, are volunteering, Lord, in the day of your power. There's the kingdom of God is not just in words, but it's in power. And and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but we receive a kingdom which can't be shaken. And so we stand in that because we stand in your power, Lord, not on our own, in your power, in your name, Lord, we come together here to honor you, to serve in your kingdom. We seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, today. Make this a real thing to us. Open up the understanding of how that applies in each of our individual lives and in the life of this church.